everyone. My name is Kelly Munn, and I'm the state field director with the League of Education Voters. You often hear us refer to ourselves as LEV. Welcome to our online webinar series, Lunchtime Levinar. Each week of the legislative session, the League of Education Voters hosts free interactive webinars on important and timely issues. For 2014, we have adapted our online webinars to focus on Washington State's legislative session. This is the fourth in our Lunchtime Legislative Levinar series. Each week, LEV is inviting the legislator to present, give policymakers the opportunity to share their most pressing issues, and give you the chance to ask important questions. I want to reiterate the questions. Please send in your questions, and I'll explain that in a minute. While you're listening, feel free to send them in. This year already, over 150 education bills have been dropped. Dropped is insider language for moving a bill through the process. It literally means this is the first step and they're being dropped in a hopper that all where all new bills are put into. Overall, there are more than 1,000 bills that will be dropped this legislative session. As citizens, it can be overwhelming to try to track these bills. LEV is trying to support your advocacy efforts by providing these webinars. Stay tuned each week for important updates on where you can find information on upcoming education committee hearings. We will also bring you updates on opportunities to join LEV and other advocacy organizations on trips to Olympia and opportunities to testify or visit with legislators. Stay tuned each week. You don't want to miss out. So you can find a lot of this information on our webpage at educationvoters.org. You can also view a full list of past and future webinars. You can also view LEV's 2014 legislative priorities. Before we give the floor to our presenter, here are a few quick reminders. You'll notice we have a chat function on the left-hand side of the webinar. This is a space for you to pose questions to the presenter. Please remember to be respectful, as all this information is public and will be archived for later access on our website. We'll also be live tweeting each webinar using the hashtags, hashtag WAEDU, hashtag LEVINAR, in this case, hashtag early learning, all one word, and hashtag WAALEDGE. Follow these hashtags at EdVoters on Twitter to join the conversations. Today's presenter is Representative Ruth Kagi. Ruth is a small business owner and represents the 32nd District, which includes North King and South Snohomish County. She chairs the House Early Learning and Human Services Committee. Nationally, she is the past chair of the National Conference of State Legislators Human Services Committee. Ruth's long history of community and public service includes serving as vice president of the League of Women Voters of Washington. She received her BA from the University of Washington and MPA from Syracuse University. Representative Kagi was first elected to the House in 1999. She is focused on improving the quality of early learning and child care, strengthening foster care, and reforming the state's drug sentencing and truck safety laws. Representative Kagi has 5 grown children and lives in Seattle. Representative Kagi has a deep and long commitment to many of LEV's core values, including a strong focus on early learning, and has been a leader on issues like discipline and the Early Start Bill. She is respected and known for her ability to collaborate with legislators and stakeholders and has been a LEV champion for years. I would like to extend a warm welcome to Representative Kagi.
Well, thank you very much. It's really an opportunity to be on this webinar, and I greatly appreciate it and the tremendous support that LEV has provided for improving the quality of early learning for many years. You're all well aware that the state Supreme Court issued a ruling right before session, or a year ago, but right before session, put additional pressure on the legislature to fully fund our K-12 system. But that ruling really ignores the fact that science clearly tells us about 90% of a child's brain development takes place before they get to school, before age 5. So it's those first 5 years where we have an opportunity to get children ready for school and have a much better shot at succeeding when they get to school. It's been demonstrated clearly by the Federal Reserve and many others that investment in early childhood education and in home visiting has a very, very high return on investment and is really the best investment we can make to ensure that children succeed and to reduce the racial disproportionality in our schools. So we have two main strategies that we've pursued in the legislature for getting children ready. The first is voluntary home visiting, which we have been investing in for about 5 years. And last session, we put in an additional $1 million. This is more than matched by private investments and is administered by Thrive by Five. The home visiting programs are really focused at the highest risk families where children are most likely to need support from outside people helping the parent really address the needs of that child and understand how to help that child grow and develop in a way that will prepare them for their futures. This session, we are focusing pretty exclusively on the issue of quality early learning in our child care and pre-K programs. Over really the last year and a half, Representative Hunter and I have been working on structuring our Early Achievers Program, which is our quality rating and improvement program in Washington State, to provide the framework for improving quality in both child care and pre-K. We're very fortunate to have a $60 million federal grant in Washington, a Race to the Top grant, which is funding the rollout of Early Achievers and gives providers the opportunity to get professional development and coaching to improve the quality of their care. It includes a rating system where raters from the UW come in and really focus on the interactions between children and their caregivers in rating the quality of a program. And we all know that that interaction is the most crucial part of how a child learns. So the bill that Rep. Hunter sponsored, House Bill 2377, is all about quality. We heard the bill last week, and a substitute was posted on for members to see this just last night. So we will be voting on the bill at our executive session on Monday afternoon. The main features of the – well, let me back up a little bit. Today in the Early Learning and Human Services Committee, we had a presentation from the Gates Foundation about a very in-depth analysis they did of high-quality pre-K programs. And they determined, looking at 5 different programs, one in Boston and the others in 4 different states, including New Jersey and – I can't remember all the rest of them, but they did a very in-depth analysis, and their message from that is that quality matters. That was their main message this morning, that quality matters, and that if you have high quality, children will have sustained gains in the K-12 system. They have seen very significant and lasting improvements for children who had high-quality pre-K. But the other side of that coin is if you have mediocre or low quality, you don't get those gains. So the importance of building a high-quality early learning system was really reinforced from the data that they presented. House Bill 2377 builds on the Early Achievers framework it requires that providers achieve at least a level three, both ECAP and child care providers. So at level three, the child care providers have to reach level three by 2019. It's a long rollout. They have to enroll by July 1st, 2017. And ECAP, which is, as you know, has received a lot of support for high quality for many years, they have to rate by July of 2015. It also, the bill also requires integration of pre-K and child care. That does not mean that we won't continue to have a state pre-K program. We will. But when you look at the research, a 2.5-hour program really does not have the dosage to give children sustained gains. So we're really looking at providing all-day high-quality environments, and we're requiring that ECAP providers provide a full-day program. We give them lots of time to do that. But it's it really is part of our vision that parents won't just be using a 2.5-day or 2.5-hour program and then seeking child care. Children every day get moved from ECAP programs to child care, and we really want to make sure there's a high-quality integrated program all day for these children. The bill also extensively deals with professional development and the need to have culturally appropriate professional development. It requires the department to create a single set of licensing regulations. So there won't be different requirements for preschool and for childcare. There'll be one set of requirements that will, they're really going to look at what is absolutely required for health and safety, and then the quality issues will be addressed through early achievers. One of the more exciting pieces to me is the data collection portion of this bill. We are requiring all childcare and early learning providers for that data to be included in a data set that goes to the education research unit, and they will provide us with information on whether our investments are making a difference. And that, of course, is crucial to the sustained progress of our efforts to improve quality in early learning, to know what works and what doesn't work and be able to correct. The Washington State Institute for Public Policy is responsible for analyzing that data and reporting to the legislature. The first report will be in December of 2017. Finally, the bill recognizes that local governments are very interested in quality child care and pre-K. As you are all aware, Seattle is looking at a universal pre-K. So there are provisions in the bill that recognize that and really encourage local governments to use the same early achievers framework that we are using to measure quality, and gives them the opportunity to basically contribute to this effort either by helping parents with copay or by providing for funding for the additional coaching and mentoring and rating that will be required, like in the city of Seattle, to really scale up their universal pre-K effort. So with that, I'm going to stop and respond to your questions. I just do want to say that I'm very excited about the progress we're making. We truly are, I think, setting the pace for the nation in terms of having one quality framework, in terms of breaking down this divide between childcare and pre-K, which I think has been has not been helpful to children and families or providers. One piece I forgot to mention is the bill also provides for 12-month authorization for children, so that when a child comes into a working connections program, as they do now with ECAP, they have a full year of eligibility. so that they will not be pulled out and put back in based on the parent's employment status. That has been very destructive and has discouraged many providers from getting involved in serving subsidized children. So we're really hopeful that will provide much more stability for children, families, and for providers. So with that, I'll stop and respond to any questions.
Thank you, Representative Kagi. That was fantastic. Right now, we actually don't have any questions coming in. I'm going to remind the listeners that you can type a question in the left-hand portion of your screen with the chat, and then I will ask the question, and Representative Kagi will answer the question. I have a question that I think that people are probably wondering about, and that is if there was an easy way or a brief way to describe what it takes to be a level three. Preschool.
To get to a level three, you have to engage in some professional development opportunities offered by the Department of Early Learning. You have to do a self-assessment of your own practices and the physical environment of your child care setting, and then you have to request a rating. And I don't have the specific standards in front of me of what a level three requires. I know that one thing that the Early Achievers tool focuses on is CLASS, which is the assessment of the interaction between the caregiver and the child. And that is you have to have a relatively high score on the class in order to pass the level three. And it is the piece, from my perspective, that is most crucial. If you have high-quality interactions between teachers and students, that is what is going to drive high-quality learning on the part of children. You can go on Dell's website, and if you click, I believe it's on Early Achievers, you will get the full range of what is required in the different levels.
So how will all of these improvements be good for parents, for families?
Well, it's interesting. I've actually had three different circumstances in the last month where people were looking for childcare and had no idea where to start. My first was my daughter-in-law, because my almost two-year-old granddaughter for the first time was going to childcare. And the lack of information about anything substantive in childcare is really stunning to parents when they start looking for childcare. They have to end up relying on word of mouth and really on very little factual information. The Early Achievers will provide a rating to parents, so they will know when they walk into a child care center, number one, whether they're engaged in a quality improvement system, which is a significant statement by itself, and whether they have rated at a 3, 4, or 5. So I think it will be a terrific help for parents. And they can get information now on a very helter-skelter basis, and this will provide them with factual information that's based on an actual rating. I also believe that parents want consistent care. And now, when a child is in an ECAP program and it ends after 2.5 hours, if the parent is working, they've got to figure out a way to get those children into a child care program after their pre-K program. That creates a lot of discontinuity for the children and for the parents. So this bill is really focusing on how do we create all-day options for people, for children and parents. And I have to say that's one of the areas where we're getting the most pushback because existing programs, ECAP programs, are going to have to undergo significant change, and that is it's going to be a challenge for them, but we really want to create full-day programs so children have much more access to the dosage that they need to get ready for school, and so parents have reliable, high-quality, stable care.
Thank you, Representative Kagi. You talked about this at the very beginning of your presentation, but could you go into a little more detail about what are some of the benefits of high-quality early learning?
Well, there are just a myriad of studies that have shown in the long run, when you go out 20, 25, 30 years, pre-K results, a quality pre-K program results in lower criminal activity, higher employment, higher home ownership, lower healthcare costs. There are just a myriad of positive, very positive results. Some of the Head Start studies have been the focus of a lot of concern because they have shown the cognitive gains fade out by the third grade. But it's interesting. The Washington State Institute for Public Policy just finished a study, which is on their website, of pre-K, and they looked at all the states who have implemented statewide pre-K, and their outcomes are actually much more positive than Head Start, which is fascinating. So our ECAP program, we haven't done a longitudinal evaluation for a number of years, but when the last longitudinal evaluation that was done about 6 years ago showed a very significant gain in terms of getting school ready. So the research we heard today from the Gates Foundation was in actual, academic scores that children get. It was focused almost exclusively on cognitive gains, which is where the Head Start studies have really shown a fade-out. Their analysis of these five exemplar programs show a dramatic increase in the academic performance of students who are in these high-quality pre-K programs when they get to kindergarten, and in one case through the fifth grade, another one rated through the third grade. So they're sustained and they're very significant. And obviously that's where everyone worried about outcomes in K-12 education needs to pay attention to the fact that those first 5 years make a huge difference in the ability of children to succeed when they get to school and will really change the educational outcomes for those children. There's lots of research showing when kids start kindergarten behind, most of them stay behind.
Representative Kagi, I'm so glad you brought up the Head Start study because we hear that all the time, and it's really important to better understand those issues. And we'll make sure that our listeners get access to the Gates Foundation information. I am going to close this out unless somebody types in a question real quick. I want to thank Representative Kagi again. It was an outstanding presentation. This is you were so clear and concise that we actually didn't get many questions because you were just so fantastic at this. I'd like to remind our listeners, don't forget if you missed part of this presentation or would like to download the slide, they are available on our website at educationvoters.org. And of course, this being the League of Education Voters, an advocacy organization, we're going to ask you to take an action to support the Early Achievers Bill. As we close this webinar, I'm going to do a brief explanation of our action alert. 2 weeks ago, both the House and the Senate introduced bills that aim to increase the quality of preschool programs for low-income families in Washington through a combination of incentives and requirements. The goal is to get 80% of our children who receive subsidized care in the high-quality programs by 2020. This is an awesome goal, and I'm so proud of our state for stepping up and putting a goal. So go to educationvoters.org to fill out the action alert, or And we have pasted the link in the chat window in a moment on your left so that you can just click and get into the action alert. And lastly, join us next week on Thursday, February 6th at 12:30 for our next webinar with our own Frank Ordway. It is policy cutoff time, and he will explain what that means and where we are at with the education bills that Lev is following. Come prepared with your questions for Frank Ordway. And until then, what's your most pressing concern this legislative session about education in Washington State? Join the conversation on Twitter at hashtag WaLeg, hashtag WaEDU, hashtag Levinar, hashtag Early Learning. And please tell your friends to join us each week. So tune in once a week, 30 minutes, your legislators, your issues.